chapter, Luke chapter 8, verses 11 through 15. The words of Jesus. He says, "This is the meaning of the parable. The seed is the word of God. Those along the path are the ones who hear, and then the devil comes and takes away the word from their hearts so that they may not believe and be saved. Those on the rocky ground are the ones who receive the word with joy when they hear it, but they have no root. They believe for a while, but in the time of testing, they fall away. The seed that fell among thorns stands for those who hear, but as they go on their way, they are choked by life's worries, riches, and pleasures, and they do not mature. But the seed on good soil stands for those with a noble and good heart who hear the word, retain it, and by persevering, produce a crop." The famous Hollywood actress Billie Burke, who played the good witch in The Wizard of Oz, Glinda, the good witch in The Wizard of Oz, she was enjoying a cruise on an ocean liner as it plied its way across the Atlantic. And in the dining room, she noticed a man across at the table next to her who seemed to be suffering from a terrible cold. She walked over and said to the gentleman, "Are you uncomfortable?" He miserably nodded, "Yes." She says, "I'll tell you what to do. Go back to your stateroom and drink lots of orange juice. Then take two aspirins, lie down, and cover yourself with all the blankets you can find. Sweat the cold out. I know just what I'm talking about. I'm Billie Burke from Hollywood." The man smiled weakly and said, "Hello, I'm Dr. Charles Mayo from the Mayo Clinic." Oh, the good doctor couldn't even finish his meal without receiving some unsolicited medical advice. Miss Burke certainly meant well, but her expertise was acting, not medicine. And she was trying to cultivate in a field that she knew very little about. My grandfather, my mom's dad, my grandfather received the gift of a cactus plant early one spring when his brother-in-law brought back for him from Arizona. They were wintering down there. For some reason, that cactus did very well, placed near my grandparents' west-facing window, and it quickly outgrew its original pot, and my grandpa, a fairly good gardener, replanted it in rich, black potting soil. No sand mixed in, no small bits of gravel at the bottom for drainage. And everybody told him that he was going to kill that cactus because the soil was too rich. Yet that cactus thrived and grew to the point where both my father and his neighbor had to pick it up and carry it away. And I don't remember what happened to it, but I think my granddad grieved for a couple of weeks. I also wanted to relate just one more little story, I hope to help prepare a bit more for this scripture today. An old-time farmer, kind of old-fashioned in his ways, hitched his new blue ribbon winning, soon to sire, perfect specimen Angus bull, hitched it to a plow and started to work the North 40. Another farmer was driving past, so he stopped and he shouted out, "Why in the world do you have a bull like that pulling a plow?" "Well," the owner said, "first off, I want to teach him a lesson that life ain't all glamour, glitz, girls, and glory." You see, it was just a bull, you see, Amy. Kind of reminds me of these verses from Luke that we see this morning. Jesus is telling what's often called the parable of the soils, how the word of God comes to all kinds of people in many ways, but the word does not always take root and grow. Other factors enter in, and growth doesn't always happen. Troubles and testing come to some, and they fall away from God's word. And for others, all the cares and testings and temptations of this world choke the life out of the tender plants, and they wither away. However, other souls receive the word, and it takes deep root, growing up into a healthy, fruit-bearing tree. Our master says, these are the ones who, when they hear the word, hold it fast in an honest, some translations say noble, in an honest, good heart, and bear their fruit with endurance. In the original New Testament language, there's only one word that we translate patience, endurance. In other words, it takes two English words to convey what it means. And the word in Greek is hupomone. Isn't Greek weird? It's wonderful, but the pronunciations sound to our English-speaking words a little out there sometimes. Hupomone, and it means stay with it, keep going, hang in there, and do so with faith and hope. Stay with it, keep going, hang in there, and do so with some faith and hope. Enduring something patiently involves waiting. And if we're called to stay with it through some hardship, then there's an element of waiting for something to change, for something to better, and something other to take its place. Now, I think, in general, I'm right about this. Americans, as a group, do not like to wait. If our fast food is delayed 3 minutes, we get antsy. If it's delayed 4 minutes, we get grouchy. On the internet, we can shop, we can find information, purchase tickets, do our banking, contact people, all within the time it takes to push a few buttons. And what's that? I think it's just called a message, not messenger, but just a message app. It's like sending immediate postcards back and forth to one another. Our daughter, who plays in the Tani Komo Orchestra, and our son-in-law, whom we got to listen to this past week, she wrote to us, I think it was yesterday or maybe early this morning. She said, Mom and Dad, thank you for being here. I treasure your support. Treasure your support? What do you mean? We haven't been supporting you since you were born? Good night. How about just say it was wonderful to have you here, Mom and Dad. Love, listen, Sam. So good to have somebody to listen to. Well, we don't like to wait, but sometimes life demands that we do. Demands that we do. For example, learning takes time. 13 years for most people to graduate from public school. It takes time for a teenager to gain skills for adulthood. Growing in wisdom involves virtues and disciplines that don't appear all at once. Healing and getting well take time, and fairly often we have to wait. We pray and hope and yearn for a loved one's well-being, and we do so well to keep praying, stay patient, look to God. So is there any way to use waiting creatively and employ heaven's help to make the most of the time in between until the sunshine comes again? What can we do in the meantime? Well, first we can work on our inner life, tend our souls. As many Quakers would say, we can strengthen holy habits. Whatever else prayer may accomplish, it does at least this. Prayer connects us more directly to God. And yes, without a doubt, we pray for others. Scripture certainly calls us to intercede in prayer for other people. And intercessory prayer is a little like, sometimes it's a little like removing that last dab of mayonnaise from deep down in the jar. Because then while we're serving it up to somebody else, we can't help but get a little of it on ourselves. or a little bit like handling a bottle of perfume. That beautiful fragrance of prayer arises to God, but yet when we handle that perfume, we get a little of the fragrance on ourselves as well. Norman Cousins traveled to Africa to interview the famous Albert Schweitzer. Dr. Schweitzer directed a mission hospital deep in Equatorial Africa, a medical center, I don't know if they called it that at that time, but we would call it a medical center dedicated to providing health care to people throughout that region. And Albert Schweitzer was an amazing person. He was an educated pastor, a New Testament scholar, a world-renowned musician and author, an organist, in fact, by way of his music, and a doctor of medicine. Cousins reported that he had dinner with Schweitzer, and then the good doctor went to the piano, inviting his guest to join him in a hymn. I think Cousins was Jewish, but so what? He wanted him to sing with him. He described that piano of the good doctor's as ancient. It was literally held together, he says, by screws, glue, and wire. The finish was marred beyond recognition. Many of the piano strings were missing, and the existing ones were all out of tune because of Africa's extreme heat and humidity. But Dr. Schweitzer, the world's most expert interpreter of Johann Sebastian Bach, sat down to play that wreck of an instrument. And the wondrous, amazing thing that Cousins noted was that under his amazing hands, Schweitzer, the Bachist, made that old piano come to life. He brought out unexpected beauty from the ancient upright. And the good doctor's skill and artistry neutralized, he said, the piano's many shortcomings, and all that remained in Cousins' ears were the good doctor's words, the songs of the hymn, and the beauty he wrenched out of that old piano. You know, I believe that something like that happens when we quiet our hearts and minds and calmly seek God's presence. When we center ourselves in prayer, our Creator covers our many shortcomings, even takes our inconsistencies, neutralizes our faults, and uses our marred lives to play heaven's music in the world. With the help of God's good grace, we can work in our inner lives and cultivate faith, hope, and love. And second, while we're waiting, we might find time to recreate and enjoy this gift of life. You know, so quickly we can bear down and obsess about many things, including our work. Our jobs can nearly consume us if we're not careful. And I don't know who said it, but this statement holds some truth. We Americans are funny people. We worship our work at our play, and play at our worship. I've heard that the learned Jewish rabbis in some of their writings stated that God would frown on those who never took time to enjoy their Maker's blessings. In my possession, I have a stamp collection, but really I should call it a stamp accumulation. It's probably among the most dog-eared, amateurish, unorganized collections in Missouri. But lately, I've been getting it out, attempting to organize it just a little better and take stock of the stamps I have and appreciate the appeal, even the mini artistry of the humble postage stamp. A few years ago, I had a big pile of loose stamps set out on the kitchen table, and our daughters were out of the house, and I knew that table then would be free for me to use. So I positioned myself at one end and proceeded to pick through my collections. And that's when the mail arrived for the day. Elizabeth, our daughter, retrieved it, glanced through it quickly, and flopped that pile of mail onto the table. That flopping action created a breeze on the tabletop, and my pile of loose stamps puffed into the air and floated down to be all over the kitchen floor. And of course, I picked them up. A few were now seasoned with some salt grains, a little pepper flakes, a few cookie crumbs, bits of cereal, and other assorted mealtime fragments. Elizabeth always bothered me that way. Nevertheless, I was still glad for the relaxation offered by my old-fashioned hokey hobby. Do you take time to play? Do you take time to do what you really enjoy? Have you been involved lately in the things that recharge your inner battery? While we're waiting, we can take time to enjoy God's multitude of blessings. And also this morning, while we're waiting, we can take the focus off of our own noses and offer a hand to someone else. We do well to reach out to people, even while we wait. General Marquis de Lafayette was a Frenchman. He helped General Washington when the 13 American colonies were fighting, desperately fighting for their freedom. But later, in 1824, Lafayette sailed back to America for a visit, and during that time, an elderly veteran of Washington's army went up to the famous Frenchman and said, "Do you remember me?" And Lafayette said, "Excusez-moi, but no." "Well, do you remember the frosts and the snows of Valley Forge?" "Oh, I will never forget them," Lafayette answered. The old soldier continued, "One bitter, cold night when you were making your rounds, General, you came by a sentry who was not clothed well enough to withstand the winter. Sometimes troops back in those days, you know, had to provide their own uniforms, their own bedding, their own outerwear. Slowly freezing to death, but you took his musket and said, 'Go to my cabin. There you will find clothing, wool blankets, and a fire. After warming yourself, bring the blanket to me. Meanwhile, I will keep guard for you.' When that soldier returned to the great general, he cut the blanket into two pieces. One piece he kept, the other part the great one gave to the sentry. The older man, who had met again with General Lafayette, said, with tears in his eyes, 'General, I have kept this half of your wool blanket for so many years. Now I want to give it back to you as a souvenir for how well you treated us in peace and in battle.'" Whether it's a warm meal, a warm blanket, an encouraging word, a caring visit, you and I can always find these good seeds, these good God-given precious seeds to plant, even one by one, in human hearts and minds. Let's plant and do so generously. In Jesus' name, amen.